What's up, guys? Welcome to Outside the Box Sports Podcast. Today, we'll be going over Week 5 NFL predictions. First off, before we get into it, we've got to get a shout-out to Braden Myers, 15th birthday today. Very great listener of the show. Questions the pick sometimes, but sometimes they turn out right, sometimes they turn out wrong.
We love you, Bray. We love you.
We love you too, Bray. But maybe he'll be on an episode one day. We'll see how it goes. But today starts Week 5 predictions, Thursday night football, Colts versus the Broncos. I'm going to take the Colts over the Broncos in this one. JT or no JT, I'm still going the Colts. They need this win. Broncos already got their two wins. The offense looked better last week against the Raiders, but that was my lock of the week, and I did take the Raiders because the Broncos are still ways, ways away from trying to figure out what's going on over there. Like I told our lunch security guard today, too much new in one situation. New head coach, new quarterback, new system, new everything. They just need time.
Confirm. Did say that.
Yes, exactly. Z is in my lunch, and we have a blast in lunch, throwing food around and every day and stuff, but that's besides the point. The Broncos 23-20. Matty Ice, I think, puts on a show. Colts need a win. This is where they get it, right here, 23-20. No game-winning field goal.
All right. This game is going to be played on Thursday night, the Colts and the Broncos. And I honestly think whoever was going to be the home team here, I would pick. You know, primetime environment. Both fan groups are pretty passionate. So Denver's going to be home here. So I'm going to take them 23-16. I think I was talking about this with our good friend Nick Peter, good friend of the show. And I was telling him, you know, the Broncos could very easily be 4-0. You know, they lost a close one to Seattle, and they just lost a semi-close one to Vegas. But they definitely could be 0-4. They won a snooze fest against the 49ers, and then they won a snooze fest against the Texans. So this team is very wishy-washy. I would like to see a little consistency out of them this week, and I think we do finally. I've been picking them, like, pretty much every week, and I'm hoping this is the first one where they get a good, confident win. Not a little squeaky win, a good, bold win. I have them taking this one 23-16.
I agree with Cole here, but this is going to be my game of the week here right off the bat. The Broncos win this game 35-27. Russell Wilson played pretty good last week, but I think this is the week he really steps up his game. I think he throws for 4 touchdowns. Javonte Williams out for the year, ACL, a bunch of stuff wrong with him. He might be done. He's done this year, and he might miss a little time next year, honestly. But besides that point, pray for Javonte. But I think Russell Wilson's really going to dominate. Michael Pittman's going to be on locks. He got Pat Surtain on him. I think the Colts get a little garbage time touchdown at the end, which makes it a little closer. But I got the Broncos winning by would be a big margin. So, yeah.
I mean, with Javonte Williams out, I mean, it just opens up more targets. It just opens up more targets. I mean, just saying. Last week I had Lions and Cephas. I mean, Cephas, no catches, no targets. And he did get a few catches, I think 6 fantasy points. So congrats to Cephas. I knew you were going to shine in that game. But moving on to the London game. Sunday morning, 8:30 a.m., Packers versus the Giants. And I got the Packers taking this one 28-17. Patriots usually are well known for playing good defenses in tough games like that. And for having Bailey Zappe play most of the game, actually the whole game, they played a hell of a game versus the Packers. But just fell a little short. And I think the Packers are finally starting to – the new offense is finally starting to come together a little bit. I don't even want to say his last name because I know I'm going to get it wrong.
Stop.
But there's a U in there, and, like, it just messes me up. But – of them over the Giants, 28-17. Giants beat the Bears last week. Bears didn't even score a touchdown. It was really embarrassing. First Bears prediction I got wrong. Same with Cole, right? You took the Bears?
I did take the Bears.
Yeah, so we're 3-1. But Bears are now 2-2. Giants will move to 3-2 now. But I think a big game, I just traded him away, but A.J. Dillon, I think he gets in twice this game.
Yeah, like Joe mentioned, this is the London game. And actually, with the Packers playing in London, this is now all 32 teams have officially played a game in London. With that being said, I'm going to take the Packers here by a very large margin, 38-14. You know, it just feels right. You know, I talk oftentimes, you know, NFL possibly actually more than likely is a little bit rigged. And I feel like it just makes sense. Rodgers, you know, he's what, year 17, year 18. First time playing in London. It just feels right for him to win this game. And the Giants just aren't very deserving of a win against, you know, this good of a team. The Packers did underperform. I find that they do that often. They play down to their opponent. Besides when they're playing the Bears, they just light up the Bears. But every other team seems like they always play close games. I don't think this is going to be the case. So it could be, but I just don't think so. I'm taking the Packers 38-15. You know, the Packers' run defense did not look great against the Bears. That's really the only full Packers game that I've watched so far. So maybe the Giants and Saquon Barkley could try and exploit that. Saquon had a career-high 31 carries in Week 4 against the Bears. So if the Giants were to have a path to success, especially with Danny Dimes, you know, banged up, they're going to have to keep feeding their boy Saquon.
Yeah, I agree here. I got the Packers winning 35-20. Packers, you know, Week 1 loss. Everyone, again, freaking out. Now they're 3-1. Everyone's shutting their mouth. But yeah, this game I do. Saquon Barkley is back, and he is. I'm not gonna say that. But he might go for 150 plus yards again. I think he went for like 140 last week. I think he's gonna go for 150 this week. He's a dog. He's their only good guy on that offense. I mean, Kenny Galladay really just pisses me off. He said he needs playing time. That guy sucks. He can't catch a ball. He can't get open. He's terrible. So yeah, speaking of that, I got the Packers win this game, and I agree with Joe. I got a big game from AJ Dillon, and I'm feeling 3 touchdowns.
Ooh,
damn!
All right, moving on to the third game this week: Lions versus the Patriots. Lions offense has been amazing. Lions defense has not been amazing, and that's the reason they are 1-3 right now. But Dan Campbell's doing something right. They just got to figure out the other half, right? They put up the most points in the league by like 30. And then giving up the most points by, like, another 30. So, you got to figure that out. I do have them taking another huge – they scored, what, it was, like, 45 last week. First week, like, 30-something, and then it was, like, 20-something. I know I'm missing a week somewhere in there. But I have them beating the Patriots 35-20. Mac Jones is not expected to go. Brian Hoyer is still probably going to be out. I really liked what I saw from Zappe versus the Packers. They have a really good defense, and if he's able to do well against that defense, he should be just fine versus the Lions. But, however, Lions offense just been without last week. No Swift, no Amon-Ra, and it's just you put up 45 points without those two. Jared Goff is actually looking really good. But I think they get it done this weekend, move to 2-3. Patriots drop to 1-4.
Yeah, first Sunday noon game we're covering, Lions and the Pats. The Lions have the number one scoring offense and the number 32 scoring defense. So it's really two complete opposites on the different sides of the football. I think the Lions off is going to overpower the Pats defense here. You know, I bring this up a lot. The Pats' highest paid player is Matthew Judon. And if you want to, you know, make a push, it's a game of money. You know, we're not playing money ball. You got to pay your players the big bucks if you want to play well. And Hugh Judon is your highest paid player, especially with a third string quarterback being in. Wait, Zappe's confirmed starter?
More than likely. It's not confirmed yet, but it probably will be.
Matters here. You know, the Pats have that decent run game, but, you know, the Lions offense, Jared Goff is tied for first in passing touchdowns, and he's third in passing yards this season. And if you, I think the Lions should have no issue putting up points on the board. I have them winning 36-26.
Damn, I was gonna say that about Goff. Yeah, the Lions, you know, Seattle put up 48 points. I don't really know how that happened, but 45 points for the Lions is ridiculous. Yeah, their offense has been outstanding, and like Joe said, I think it's going to happen again. I got the Lions win this game 35-20. Oh, same score as last. 35-20. No Amon-Ra last week. Still dropped 45. And now I got Amon-Ra coming back. I think he'll catch 2 touchdowns. Leave off right where he start right where he left off again. I'm feeling 100 yards from Amon-Ra. 2 touchdowns. No Swift yet, but Jamal Williams is still a dog. He's that guy. He had 2 touchdowns, 150 yarder, 100 yards for Seattle. And I think he has a mediocre game here, but good enough to get the job done against Zappi and the Patriots. Zappi did play pretty well. I didn't see that game, but I did see the stats, and looked like he played pretty well.
And the crazy thing about last week's game is twice on 4-1, Rashad Penny rushed for 2 touchdowns over 40 yards.
Oh, he did.
It was insane how the Lions just couldn't stop once, and it just – and they let him go all the way, and it's just – I don't know.
What makes it even more mind-blowing is that it was against the Seahawks running back, too. That was crazier.
Correct. Exactly. Kenneth Walker. Hopefully, I'd love to see him get more opportunities this week versus the Saints. We'll see how that goes. But moving on, Chargers versus the Broncos. I'm going to take the Chargers over the Browns. Chargers versus the Browns. I'm going to take Chargers over the Browns here, 33-15. Austin Ekeler finally got included in the offense last week, scored 3 times against the Texans. I expect him to get in maybe once or twice again this week. They're finally finding the rhythm, getting Keenan Allen back this week. So, I mean, everything's going. Seemed downtown, you lost Herbert. You lost. I mean, Bosa's out for like probably 10 weeks. So he's gone for a while, but you were getting the injured. Now everybody's coming back. Now you got to start putting it on them. And I have them 33-15. Browns hit a hard stop last week, losing to the Falcons. And the Falcons, they're 2-2 right now. They are just, they're doing that. So, I mean, Jacoby Brissett hasn't done a bad job, but, I mean, he's starting to come to that cycle where it's going to come to an end here. So, Chargers over the Browns, 33-15.
Now, I picked the Browns to lose last week, and I was correct. Same. That doesn't mean I'm a Jacoby Brissett hater. I'm a big fan of Jacoby Brissett. I think he is, you know, if he were a starter, he'd be a top 20 starter. I like what he does in the football field. His career touchdown interception ratio is pretty solid. And, you know, when you're protecting the football, I like that.
I mean, Troy and Cole did compare me at ATI football to Jacoby Brissett.
QB4 activities right there. You know, they're playing a much better opponent in the Chargers, who just had a very, very solid win against Houston last week. Offense looked solid following the Jaguar loss. And I'm going to take the Browns here, 21-10. This feels like a trap game to me. Very similar to, I guess you could say, that Colts versus Chiefs game. You know, NFL media, yeah, everyone really wants you to think that the Chargers are going to win here, continue their success, and the Browns are going to, you know, start that losing streak. But I think it's going to be the opposite, actually. I'm going to take the Browns here 21-10. You know, my favorite thing to do around this time of year is bring up the weather. They're in Cleveland. You know, Justin Herbert's, he's a California boy. We don't know how he's going to perform in that chilly Cleveland air. And, you know, I have yet to see the Chargers really have an elite run game. You know, Austin Ekeler cashed 2 in on the ground, but, you know, they haven't really had many yards rushing. Well, Cleveland, you know, that's what they're known for. That's a Kevin Stefanski staple. I think Nick Chubb has another very solid game. I think he gets over 100 rushing yards. Kareem Hunt's going to be involved, and Jacoby Brissett continues to play well. Another quiet one from Amari Cooper, and I'm hoping Njoku does well because he's on the fantasy squad, but I think it's going to be mostly a game of rushing, and that's why Cleveland is going to win kind of a clunker, 21-10. I don't like Justin Herbert this week, still recovering from that injury.
I think the exact opposite, actually. Well, first I want to talk about Nick Chubb. He's been putting on a show. I think all 4 weeks in fantasy football, he's gotten 17-plus points. I could be wrong about that, but I'm pretty sure it's right. RB1 in fantasy, he's been a beast, and I think he rushes for another one and possibly another 100 yards. He's been a dog. But the Chargers, I don't know the Chargers' schedule, their next, like, 9 games, but I'm going to say their next 7 games, they win 6 of them. They're gonna win 6 out of the next 7, maybe 7 out of 7, and they're going to be first in the AFC. Wait, shit. No, they're going to win 7 out of 7, be first in the AFC. 9-2. Yeah, they're 2-2, right? 9-2 record, going to be first in the AFC. And this is going to be the second win in a row. I got the Chargers win this game 31-17. Mike Williams and Justin Herbert are a dynamic duo. I know Keenan Allen's coming back, but I still think Herbert's going to target Mike Williams more than Keenan Allen this game. And I think Mike Williams get another big game. A little bit of a quiet game. Keenan Allen, Austin Ekeler. I think he punches one in there. And overall, the Chargers are going to win this game by 14.
Moving on to the next game, Jags versus the Texans. Jags last week came out strong against the undefeated Eagles and then took a turn for the worse. I mean, I think it was, what, 21-3? And they ended up losing, I forget the final score. But it's crazy how one head coach can just change the whole dilemma of a team. And it just, last year, you got the one pick again 2 years in a row, and then now you're competing. They are now the current favored odds to win the division for the AFC South. So, and I think they moved to 3-2 after this week, 21-10 over the Texans. Texans went out, shocked everybody, tied versus the Colts week one, and then haven't done anything to represent that they could be where the Jags are right now. So, Jacksonville, I think Christian Kirk, I mean, still had a decent week. I mean, for fantasy owners, I mean, the first 3 weeks, everybody was like, ooh, I mean, 4 weeks. Or yeah, first 3 weeks did very well and then only dropped like 6 or 7 points. So, I mean, still not bad, but he's seeing decent. He's earning his contract so far. Texans, Damian Pierce is looking very good so far. I mean, just keeps getting better and better every week. I expect nonetheless, but Texans, nothing special. Jags moving to 3-2.
Something that I noticed in this Jaguars, you know, first couple games, first quarter of the season, is that their pass rush is very solid. If you look at who they got coming off the left and right edge, they've got the number one overall pick, Trevon Walker, and then also, I think he went 7th or 8th a couple seasons back, Josh Allen.
Josh Allen.
Two top 10 picks, you know, rushing the passer. That's going to be a very solid tandem to see in the future. And I think those guys play very well this game. This was a shitfest candidate. It's not my official one. I'm going to take the Jags here. 28-17. Christian Kirk had a bit of a down week. I think he picks right back up where he left off in week 3. Trevor Lawrence has kind of proved the haters wrong, and I including me. I was one of the haters. He's played very well, I believe. They're 2-2. You know, played decent. Went up early against the 3-0 Eagles. You know, no one really expected them to win that game. That's fine. They're going to bounce back here, and they could definitely compete for this division. Joe, I hate to say it, but you were very right. Yes. The Texans, you know, the Davis Mills hype was just, ugh, that guy stinks.
Yeah. This is my shit fest of the week. When you see Jaguars versus Texans on – when you go on Safari, search up NFL Week 5, and you scroll down a little bit, and you see Texans versus Jaguars, you go, yep, shit fest of the week.
Oh,
this is my shit fest of the week. I have the Jaguars win this game 14-2. Texans are going to get a safety in the Jaguars. That's going to be their only points. Damian, really good weeks. I think he rushes for 100 yards. He's not going to punch it in the end zone, though. Fantasy owners, I might possibly be one soon. But, yeah, he's gotten, I think, like 2 50-yard touchdowns, like back-to-back weeks. I mean, that's not really going to happen every week. So, in the future, Damian should get a dog, but this year I think he's just going to be a mid guy. And yeah, I still think he rushes for 100 yards, but for fantasy owners, it'll be a mid guy. Jaguars been playing pretty good, and they're going to move the record to 3-2. I still don't think they're going to win the division. It's either going to the Colts or the Titans, but I got them winning here. So give me them by 12 points.
I also apologize to Bray. Last week I told you to sit Damian Pierce, and he did really well. So moving on to the Bucs versus the Falcons. It's going to be – you'd think it'd be my shit fest, but this is actually going to be my game of the week.
Wow.
Bucs and Falcons play usually – well, last year it came down to like – it usually comes down to the wire. And for the reason of me putting this as my game of the week, the Falcons have actually played good football. They almost beat the Rams, came back. They had the ball. Mariota threw a pick with like 10 seconds left to take the lead. And then you go out and beat the Browns. Oh, what other team did they beat? Damn it. Falcons.
Seahawks, yeah.
Beat the Seahawks. And that was also a close game, correct?
It was.
Yeah. Came down to the last. They forced a fumble or something like that. Maybe that was
I just want to say week. Devin Woe is live right now. Sorry.
Oh. but I will say this game will end on a game-winning field goal. Falcons dips lose another heartbreaker.
Z's got to count us down.
Yeah. All right. Bucks will be winning this game 28-25. Not going upset level, but it's going to be the game of the week. Okay. Ryan Suckup, I'm trying to connect with Cole. Cole, Z, count us down.
All right, let's go. 3, 2, 1, go.
43.
Oh, we got numbers. The right number.
We would have had it. Yep. Damn it. But a lot of Falcons fans aren't happy with the way Mariota's been playing. And if you're not happy with the Falcons being 2-2 right now, I mean, they must expect a lot from – I mean, you just lost Patterson, too. You're losing all of your weapons. And the fact that you have two wins, you should just be thankful. But, I mean, maybe you get Ritter involved soon. Maybe things change. I don't know. But Falcons lose a heartbreaker to the Bucks, 28-25. They move to 2-3, which isn't bad. Bucks move on to 3-2. Hopefully – I mean, Brady – a lot of people are saying they're taking Brady to win the Super Bowl now just because those divorce papers are flying in soon, and he's going to have an edge. So, I mean, we'll see what happens. But Bucks over the Falcons.
All right, getting into the Falcons and the Buccaneers, as a man in the Facebook comment section said on my post about the fantasy matchup, Tom Brady was a sneeze away from winning me my fantasy matchup. For those of you who don't know, I lost by 0.02 points. Tom Brady were to have one more passing yard, I would have won. So yeah, but I'm not gonna stay that salty. He had a really good game, over 300 passing yards, 3 touchdowns, and the game script allowed for that. They went down early. It didn't help that Rachaad White fumbled that opening kickoff. They went down big time. They had to start passing the ball, and he had a torn rotator cuff or something with his rotator cuff in his shoulder, and he still went out and threw the ball well at 45 years old. Godwin went down mid-game. He was shaken up. Came back, though. He lost Gronk, but he's still finding a way to get the ball to his targets. I would like to see him utilize Julio Jones a little bit. It's, a bit of a revenge game. He's playing his old team, the Atlanta Falcons. And I don't disagree with Joe. I think it's going to be a closer game. I have the Buccaneers winning as well, 27-21. The Falcons' offense has pleasantly surprised me, and they've done all of this. They've won 2 games without having to utilize Kyle Pitts. Which is very surprising. They honestly could be 3-1 if they completed that comeback against the Rams. And then week 1, I don't remember if it was closer.
They faced the Saints, and I believe – hold on.
Oh, they blew the lead.
Yeah.
This is a bit of a Joe Lucanza logic, but I guess they could be 4-0 technically. Probably not, but I think they're going to play close with a lot of teams, and they are definitely exceeding my expectations. Drake London's great, but I'm more of a fan of Mariota and the run game, actually. Cordero's on the IR, but I think Tyler Allgeier will fill his role with no issue there. But it's hard to pick against Tom Brady and the Bucks, especially against a team with, not that much talent like the Atlanta Falcons. So I'm going to take the Bucks here, but I would not be surprised if we see an upset.
Yeah, week 1 – sorry, Chiggs, cut you off real quick. But week 1, Falcons were up 23-10 entering the fourth quarter, and it ended up losing. So I guess you could say, like, I like using this knowledge a lot. They like Cole said, they could be 4-0 right now, but they're not. So
it's gonna could be also 1-3.
Mm-hmm.
Facts, exactly. So it's either way.
All right. I got the complete opposite here. This is my lock of the week. I got the Buccaneers winning 27-10. The first 3 weeks, the Buccaneers offense looked very slow. I think they had under 20 points all 3 weeks. Last week, their offense looked great, but their defense looked like utter trash, 41 points. And I know you're playing Patrick Mahomes. I would say Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, and Clyde, that's really all. But still, 41 points, so one of the best defenses in the league, definitely a top 5 defense. I mean, come on, you got to do better there. Got to help out Tom. Yeah, I think they win this game pretty handily over the Falcons. I don't see a lot of the Falcons. Cordell Patterson went down. Love that guy. Went to Tennessee. But Mike Evans, great game. He had, I think, 100 yards, 2 touchdowns, like 10 receptions. And I think he's going to repeat that again. Also, like Cole said, I like Julio Jones in this game, little revenge game. Both of those guys. Chris Godwin's going to be slow. He's still a little banged up. I don't really know. They should just sit him for another week or two and let him fully heal. But yeah, I got a big game from Evans and Julio, and I got the Buccaneers winning 27-10. By the way, Kyle Pitts is going to score his second ever NFL touchdown this game.
Nice. Ooh. So this one, Bills and Steelers. Pickett is the new starting quarterback in Pittsburgh. Week one last year with Big Ben, Steelers pull off a win. I will not be taking the Steelers, unfortunately. I need to start getting wins so my podcast predictions record goes up. So gotta play this one smart, even though in my heart I do believe that the Steelers, Mike Tomlin will. I refuse to believe that Mike Tomlin starts 1-4 this season. And if Pickett's the new quarterback, then they believe in him. And if this is his first start in the NFL, I mean, they think he's mature and confident enough to go in there and versus the Bills, the favorite for the Super Bowl this year. I mean, they must be really confident. He looked really good last week. I know he threw three picks, but Claypool dropped one ball. Another ball hit off like a Muth's helmet or something like that, missed the ball. Two of those shouldn't have been picks. You can argue the third one shouldn't even have been picked.
I would say the Claypool one is just because, I mean, I know Claypool's like 6'5", but I mean, it was like double coverage.
And they are on the verge of trading him as well. Him and DJ Moore have been the top two trade targets. I would love if Claypool went to the Bears. I mean, it gives a nice little
DJ Moore to the Packers would be.
Oh, DJ Moore to the Chiefs. The talks
DJ
right
Moore
now
to Kansas City,
exactly.
Probably
Odell Beckham to the Packers.
Packers, and yep.
If the Packers get a decent receiver,
I'm gonna say Claypool to the Giants. Actually, if they're serious about contending this year in that division, you need to go out and get. I mean, you lost Sterling Shepard for the year. Galladay blows balls.
If they win this week, Joe, I don't hate it.
Exactly.
I mean, they go after them if they win this week. Which hold on, wait, did I pick them to win? Oh no, they're not gonna win. Never mind.
We'll go to the Rams.
Bears need to make a move. I mean, I'm
Rams.
Almost confident that the Bears are gonna pick up Andy Isabella. I don't know why they would, but Bears are high on the waiver right now, and they probably will pick him up. So. Another guy that could possibly turn into something, even though Casey Tyrell absolutely hates him. But going back to the Bills and Steelers, this is going to be a close game regardless. Like the 14.5 point differential favored for the Bills is absolutely ridiculous. This is a Steelers team. I mean, obviously you're missing T.J. Watt, and they have not played well without T.J. Watt at all. I think they're 0-8 without T.J. Watt and as him joining the Steelers. So they have yet to win without T.J. Watt. But it's going to be a close game. I'll have the Bills over the Steelers 27-26. I think the Bills go out to like almost like last week, like the Jags and Eagles did. I think the Bills go out to the 21-3 lead ish, and then Steelers will come back, make it close. But oh, there's an ambulance, sounds like on our street, Z. But Bills over the Steelers 27-26. As much as it pains me, I 0% of me will be shocked if the Steelers win this game.
All right. This is going to be my lock of the week.
Oh,
Joe, I liked nothing what you said about the 14.5 point favorites. Hammer the Bills minus 14.5. They're going to win 42-22.
Oh.
Now, a point to bring up, Joe, I don't remember if you did. Week one last year, both of these teams played in Buffalo, and the Steelers actually ended up winning. But that was when
with
they had,
Big
like,
Ben, the worst quarterback in the league, according to you last year.
It's very true. But that was like when the Bills had like a very bad coach by the name of Brian Daboll, and Daboll. He did not run the offense. Now they have, I don't even know who's calling plays over there. Oh, the one guy that like
your boy Ken, he threw a fit after they lost.
The one guy that threw the fit. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna take the Bills here big time. You know, as a Najee Harris fantasy owner, I would like the Steelers to put up, you know, 22 points is decent. I do not like that they had two goal line touchdowns. I actually think the Claypool one was not his fault. I saw some on Twitter, you know, Chase Claypool's 6'4", that defensive back was 5'9". Claypool's got to come down with that. I'm sorry. Looked like Kenny Pickett was targeting Freiermuth quite a bit. Kind of feel bad for all those talented receivers. Yeah, you know, not one of them has really stood out so far. You know, there's been a couple good Pickens games. Deontay Johnson's had a couple good games. So, you know, as Pickett, you know, these next couple weeks we'll see, you know, if one of his favorites start to emerge, which guy he likes to target the most. But, yeah, this Bills offense, you know, just goes without saying. They're awesome.
A lot of people like the Kenny Pickett Pickens as the new.
Dude, why do you say that right before my turn?
Benda Brown, sorry.
Pickett to Pickens. Yeah. I mean, the guy's name is Pickett and threw three picks in his first career start. The guy is not an NFL starting quarterback. He's going to be like
look bad.
He's going to be in the fan controlled football league by 2027.
That is so bad.
And this is not going to be my lock of the league. It really should. But I got the Bills winning 40-21. Like I was going to say, Pickett and the Pickens combo is going to be great. I mean, I just traded away Pickens, but I mean, they're going to be very, very good. Pickens might win rookie of the year. Never know. Either him or one of the running backs. But like I said, and I think two episodes ago, I don't think I will ever pick against the Bills. Their team is so good. It's practically impossible. Maybe I absurd upset of the week or the sit there starters on week 17. That's the only times I'll pick against them, or like Josh Allen gets shot or something. But yeah, that's really all I got to say. The Steelers aren't very good this year. I think their next like four games: Bills, Eagles, Dolphins, and like some other crazy team. They might start off 1-7. Their best I think is going to be two and six, and what I think they will do is 1-7.
Wow. These guys could have the number one pick next year,
dude. Maybe
playing. Wow.
They play in a pretty hard division, two powerhouses, and then you know their next four games are all L's. So, yeah, and give me the Bills by 19 this game.
They're gonna be at a bit of a dilemma if they have that one pick. One of the prime candidates for the number one overall pick is Will Anderson, the edge rusher out of Florida, which they could pair him with T.J. Watt, and that could be lethal.
Oh my.
You don't have the answer at quarterback, right? So you could take C.J. Stroud. You could.
They do have Bryce the Young. They're not going to give up.
I mean, you can't really take a quarterback. You took Pickett in the first round. You can't really.
They're not.
As much as I am a Kyler Murray hater, the Cardinals did the same exact thing. Nine mistakes ahead of me, 10th overall. In 2018, they selected Josh Rosen. The very next year, they had the number one pick and went Kyler Murray. Now, I'm not a big Kyler Murray fan, but I sure as hell like him more than I would like Josh Rosen under center for them.
If you get a chance to pair T.J. Watt and Will Anderson together,
that would be amazing. But
you got to have priorities, right? Quarterbacks win games. Defensive ends are luxuries, and Kenny Pickett is not a winner. He went to Pitt. If he went to Alabama. If he went to a Power Five, Pitt might be Power. Yeah, Pitt is Power Five. If he went to a good football school, I would like him a lot more. He played no competition last year. He had Jordan Addison was his wide receiver one, who's projected to be a first round pick next year. He had the help of him. You know, his offensive line was good. He's just not a starting quarterback.
I don't really understand how this. So the Steelers are going to be 1-7, but how? Like, I don't really like see any like big holes in the quarterback. I mean, I know
when TJ Watt is not playing, that team is way different because he has like I saw a post on Instagram when he's on the field, they give up like it's like 23 points a game, and when he's not on the field, it's like 30.
He's second best offender in the NFL, but yeah, like their team really like isn't that bad on paper, like quarterback and offensive line, like Cole said, but like best safety in the league. Their cornerbacks, I don't really know, but I think they're okay.
When did they get Tyrann Mathieu?
They didn't. They have Minkah Fitzpatrick.
Safety four?
Nah, safety one.
Moving on.
Yeah, move on.
Jets versus the Dolphins. All right, hold on. First, it's going to be the crap fest of the week, chip fest.
Nice.
As much as this pains me to say it.
Does it pain you, Joe?
The Jets are going to win this game. Wow. I hate the Jets. I hate Zach Wilson, but with Teddy B playing QB for the Finns, you're not going to be good. I don't mind Teddy B, but it pains me to say this, but the Jets are the better team in this matchup, given the circumstances. And it's crazy that the Jets are going to be in second place of that division at the end of this week.
They are.
17-14. The Jets are not a bad football team. They're better
they're
than
not
Pittsburgh.
Bad, but they're Pittsburgh. Not good.
They're keeping receipts is what they're doing. They got a lot of young
I've
talent.
Mentioned that the past few
they
weeks.
They have the best quarterback from the 2021 NFL draft class.
So bad.
They're set up for success. Breece Hall, Garrett Wilson.
So bad.
Those are great.
So bad.
Zach Wilson had, I think he completed 10 of 12 passes.
I don't give a shit.
180 Whoa. Yards in the fourth quarter. Well, yeah, you do. They beat your second favorite team, who you were so confident that was going to win, and they did not.
First favorite team.
Yeah, because, I mean, they threw a combined for 5 picks. Steelers, that is such poor ball management. You are in the red zone.
Manage those balls.
You're in the red zone with the lead, and you are passing the ball, and you throw a pick. That is not Pittsburgh's.
It doesn't fly in our dojo.
Definitely not in this dojo. And I'm just taking a guess here, not in anybody else's dojo. But this week, Jets beat the Dolphins 17-14. There, I said it. Jets win. It's not going to be a good game to watch. I'll say Michael Carter gets in the end zone twice.
All right, getting into this game. This is going to be my game of the week. This is the only game this week that I have a game-winning field goal. I think the Jets win 24-21. I picked them last week. I'm picking them again. I'm not a big Teddy Bridgewater fan. I think that leg injury that he had back in like 2016-17 really hurt the trajectory of his career because he was actually playing pretty decent for Minnesota. But now he's just kind of been a journeyman backup. As a Jalen Waddle fantasy owner, I don't like his treatment of Jalen Waddle. I think you know, as good as Sauce Gardner is, it's going to be very hard to contain Tyreek Hill. But, you know, if they find a way to do it, you know, Teddy Bridgewater is going to have to find other people to throw to. And fingers crossed, Waddle's one of those guys. But I don't think Bridgewater is nearly as good as a Jacoby Brissett or someone like that. So I'm picking the Jets here. I think they keep it close. If I had to go player of the game, the Jets are going to put up 24 points. I think Zach Wilson's going to form more of a relationship with Garrett Wilson. So it's actually going to be tough. I think I would say Elijah Moore and Garrett Wilson are very similar in terms of how their production is going to be this year. So I think whoever Xavier Howard isn't guarding is going to be the guy that shines more.
That's exactly what I was going to say again. But I think Howard's going to be on Wilson. So actually, I'm going to say my score first. I got the Dolphins winning this game 35-16. But yeah, a lot of talk in the preseason about Elijah Moore and Zach Wilson being a dynamic duo. Then obviously Zach Wilson went down for 4 weeks. And I think this is where this connection starts. I think Elijah Moore is going to have a great game, but not a bigger game than both these Dolphins receivers. I love both the cornerbacks and the Jets. Sauce Gardner, fortunately, he's going to get sauced up. Then my boy DJ Reed, one of the most underrated cornerbacks in the game, he's going to get sauced up by Jalen Waddle. I think both these Finns receivers go for over 100 yards and both get a touchdown. Cole's going to be very happy. Troy's going to be very happy. And Tyreek Hill, through 4 weeks, he's got about 470 yards. That's redonkulous. And I think it's another 100-yard game, and the Finns win this game by 20.
Wow. This game, it's not my upset. I have too much heart and soul for this team. Taking the Bears over the Vikings, 21-18. Yes, we did not score a touchdown last week, but I think this is finally the week that Luke, I don't even want to try at his last name, Getsy, I don't, who cares?
That's not it is a very simple last name.
Luke I know. Getsy. All right, I said it right the first time. They got to pass the ball. Fields completed 11 of 22 last week. At least he threw the ball much more times than he has. But I think this week you get to 30 pass attempts. I think we're going to complete 20 of those. We're getting there. I really like Herbert. I think Herbert should be in the depth chart over Monty, to be honest. And then Fields, I mean, we were over the 200 mark for yards last week. We're getting there. But this is a game that I think the Bears are really going to – a big divisional game. Bears got to come out on top on this one, and they're going to come out on top. We get Jalen Johnson back and Montgomery, I believe, so it's two big pieces. Velvis Jones has to be better last week, that punt. I mean, we had a shot to come back.
and you blew it. So we'll see how Bears practice and stuff go this week, but I'm very confident that the Bears pull out a win this week against the Vikings.
Okay, before I get that second place Mets, their number one prospect, Francisco Alvarez, got his first hit solo home run. So shout out to you, Francisco. All right, getting the Bears and the Vikings.
Uh-oh, whoa. Justin Verlander. I feel like every time I do a podcast, it's like Justin Verlander has a no-hitter versus the Phillies going into the eighth inning.
Always hitters, only got the podcast.
Versus the Phillies, though. Both playoff teams, great series. I got to type up my thing for journalism.
Not a guarantee, sir.
No, they're in already. They already, yeah.
Yeah, they clinched it.
Got to do my journalism paragraph tonight about the MLB playoffs. But Verlander, 10 Ks. Wait, hold on. Oh, it's a combined no-hitter. God.
That's lame.
No, we don't care about those. More.
Yeah. I really, really hope Jalen Johnson is playing this game if the Bears want even a sliver of hope. The Vikings are 3-1. Picked up a good London win against New Orleans. Andy Dalton played a great game. Had like 4 incompletions. He played very well. If Jalen Johnson's guarding Justin Jefferson, we got a shot. You know, Kyler Gordon's gonna be getting torched by Adam Thielen. He's a bad pick. I've said it before the draft. Jiggs, I don't know if you remember that. I said take anyone but Alec Pierce and Kyler Gordon. And then they took Kyler Gordon, and now he's allowed the most yards out of any cornerback in the NFL. I mean, I'd be such a good GM. I said don't take Cole Kmet. We take Cole Kmet. He sucks. I mean, I'm just a great GM. He's a bad player. I think the Vikings win this one 28-14. Dalvin Cook has another meh game. You know, the Bears have been allowing a lot of rushing yards to running backs. Week 2, we saw Aaron Jones go off. Week 3, we saw Damian Pierce have his breakout game. Week 4, we saw Saquon go off. So with that being said, you know, Dalvin Cook should be the focal point of the offense. But I feel like in practice this week, Matt Eberflus and the boys are going to focus on really stopping that run, which honestly is going to lead to some play-action opportunities for Kirk Cousins throwing the ball to Justin Jefferson downfield. For the Bears, offensively, I'd like to see Velus Jones get more involved. If we're investing a third-round pick, third-round pick into a special teams player who's 25 years old as a rookie, and then he muffs a punt in one of his only touches in his first-ever game, that's embarrassing. Get him involved in a screen pass. Do something. Get the ball in his hands. Let's see what he can do.
Do some math.
Yeah, Dave Montgomery's questionable. We really need him to play. He's great at breaking tackles. Seems like he always plays pretty decent against Minnesota. If not, you know, Khalil Herbert really wasn't finding much success on the ground. He didn't really break any runs big. It was always like a consistent 3 to 4 yard gain, which is all right. And I also want to see more designed runs from Justin Fields. I'm not worried about the passing game. If we can be effective on the ground, we're going to give ourselves a shot. But it's really the defense that I think is going to sell us. And we lose 28-14.
I have the Vikings winning this game 28-17. And I think Justin Jefferson could put up a Randy Moss stat line here. 3 catches for 3 touchdowns and 120 yards. I mean, he is going to go ballistic just like he did in London. And I'm not really a believer in this, but that London game, I feel like it was scripted. I mean, that was just some bull crap. But yeah, I got the Vikings winning this game by 11. Bears don't impress me whatsoever. Justin Fields, he stinks. Darnell Mooney did get involved.
Justin Fields does not stink. He's a good quarterback.
In terms of
skills, I like his arm strength. Obviously, I like his build. I like his speed. He doesn't have the weapons. He doesn't have the line. He doesn't have the opportunities. I think if you were on a different offense, people's opinion of him would be a lot better. So I'm not going to call him a bad quarterback yet because he's had less than a full season's worth of games to start. I think we need to give him a little more time. You know, if he puts up the stat line every game for the rest of the season, then I can understand. But I just feel like
that's fair. But yeah, Darnell Mooney did get involved. I think he had like 90 yards. About time. That first or second best player on your offense, you got to feed him the ball. I got the Vikings win this game. Huge game by Justin Jefferson. Huge game by Kirk Cousins, and they're going to win this game by 11.
Moving on to the next game, Titans versus the Commanders. I'm going to take the Titans over the Commanders 27-21. Titans have looked a lot better. They're actually looking like an actual football team now. They Fat Randy sold week one, lost to the Giants, and then they – didn't they start 0-2? I think they lost to – yeah, lost to the Bills. So,
yeah.
Commanders have looked like atrocious, looked like garbage. Wentz has not been playing well. Started, I mean,
I have a question.
Yeah.
Does it want to make you gag?
Just a little bit. I think if it's getting to the point where you turn, to like, what are they right now? Are they 2-2?
Tennessee is 2-2.
No, Commanders.
Oh, the Commanders are 1-3.
I think if you get to 1-5, 1-6, I think it's time to turn it over to Sam Howell. I really think the Commanders could succeed with him. And Titans, Tannehill's still proving his point. I was really looking forward to see Malik get involved here soon, but Tannehill's hanging on by a thread. That thread can be cut at any time.
And I think it did with Treylon Burks being out.
Yeah, Burks is out for 4 weeks now, so... we'll see how that goes, but I still think they win this game. Henry's finally back to normal. And Mike Vrabel will cut off his penis for a Super Bowl ring, so that might happen soon, too. So, Titans over the Commanders.
All right, getting to this game. Both teams I do not like. The Titans win this one 34-20. I think Derrick Henry has another very solid game, and I don't want Ryan Tannehill to keep his job. I think he's a backup quarterback. He got lucky in 2019. And with Derrick Henry getting older, this offense specifically is getting worse and worse. I was thinking about it. If you take Derrick Henry out of the equation, who else do they have? This team sucks. Their offensive line is not good. They have Taylor Lewan and Roger Saffold on the line. Those guys are decent. Tannehill sucks. Robert Woods is not a receiver one. Treylon Burks is young. Derrick Henry's great, but he's aging. Ryan Tannehill's awful, like I said. On defense, they have Kevin Byard and Jeffrey Simmons. After that, that's it. They have three good players. Everyone else sucks. It's Byard, Jeffrey Simmons, and Derrick Henry.
Hey, man, they have Caleb Farley.
Exactly. That guy stinks. I don't know why I'm shitting on him so much. I had them winning 34-20. That's because Carson Wentz sucks. I don't know who. I'd have to look on their depth chart if it's Sam Howell or Taylor Heinicke.
Do that right now.
I'm a big Howell guy, but I also like Heinicke. He's kind of a meme player. But, if they're not getting Gibson involved, they're not getting McLaurin involved, they're going to have to with Jahan Dotson being out. Brian Robinson set to make his NFL debut after being shot, so that's pretty cool. And I'm going to take the Titans here.
Heinicke is still 2. Sam Howell is 3.
You put a lot of emphasis in the shot.
But no, it didn't.
Give me the Titans win this game 21-20 on a game winning field goal. Like Cole said, Derrick Henry played very good last two games. First 2 weeks he was off a slow start, and the last 2 weeks and this week are going to be his little streak that he goes on. Last year he was on pace for 2,000 yards, and he got hurt. And I think he goes for 1,500 this year with double digit touchdowns. And the Commanders really suck. Terry McLaurin really isn't that good. He's the fourth best receiver in his class. Antonio Gibson, week one, finally getting like his passing his receiving ability. And I was like, oh my God, he's a steal. Joe got him in like the 10th round. And then he's seen like three targets. They're saying they're going to give him the ball. He's not. Brian Robinson's returning. And, he's going to play a bigger role. But I got the Titans win this game on a game-winning field goal. Who's doing it with me?
Dibs.
Oh, okay.
All right. Randy.
On go.
That
3-2-1 go.
42.
All right. Moving on. I'm going to take my upset of the week here. Seahawks over the Saints. I think 48 points from that Seattle offense last week, it's got to be a real confidence booster for Geno Smith. And I think week two when they beat the Broncos, I'm like, man, this might actually be a decent team. I'm going to do it again. Very confident
in Seattle this week. I'm 21-17.
Here.
And I think Geno Smith passes for 3 more touchdowns. No, pass for 2, rush for 1.
I just found out that Len Casper is in a band that performs music.
Nice.
That's very interesting. Nice. What?
Okay, well,
I get into my shithead of the week.
Yeah.
Seahawks at the Saints. I'm taking the Saints here, 21-13. Dalton impressed me. I don't even care who's starting, Winston or Dalton. He impressed me with Kamara coming back and maybe MT. These guys should have more success. I like Chris Olave. He's one of my favorite guys. Now, the thing that intrigues me is that Fox corner has been pretty solid.
My boy, 3-4.
Scoring game, obviously, the shit of the week, 13. So I think Kamara finally has his breakout game of 2022 and gets done on the ground, you know, maybe in the air. But it's the Red Rocket or starting, the Saints pick up a win here.
Yeah, like Cole said about the Seahawks cornerbacks, I wish we kept DJ Reed. He was really good. They all seem like a bunch of no-names, but I promise you, they're not yet. You got Kobe Bryant, definitely not a no-name. Tariq Woolen, and then DJ Reed. Seems trashy, but they're all decent. I like them all. But I did say in the chat that I was gonna do Saints win if Jameis plays, Seahawks win if he doesn't. But I'm changing that. I'm going Seahawks no matter what. I'm going back to my bias. I don't know about Michael Thomas, but I do know about Chris Olave. He's been playing like a god. I knew he was going to be good this year. I took him. I did trade him away. But Rashad Penny, huge game last week, but I don't think that keeps up. He had two, like Joe said, 40-yard rushes. I think he gets held under 50 yards this game, no touchdowns. DK Metcalf. Okay. DK Metcalf has continued to show that he is a dog this past 2 weeks. He's facing his arch nemesis, Marshawn Lattimore, and I think he does pretty good against him. Last week, he bullied Jeff Okuda, and this week, he's going to bully Marshawn Lattimore. Gave me the Seahawks winning by 10.
He had to take a poop break.
He did.
I have the Niners over the Panthers, 22-17. I think this I've said it twice, and I'm going to say it again. This is the week Matt Rhule gets fired. If they don't win. But 49ers, clutch win last week, and I don't expect nothing less this week. And I think the 49ers will beat the Panthers.
All right, I'm doing a little audible here. 49ers-Panthers. I'm changing my game to the Panthers. I think they win 33-23. I pick them every week. They always lose. City doesn't like that. I think hopefully they beat the Niners here. Not a big Jimmy G fan. I just think they need a new quarterback entirely. Trey Lance or Garoppolo, neither of them are the answer. They should have taken Ja'Marr Chase 3rd overall, like I said in the mock draft. And hopefully McCaffrey's been doing well. Hopefully DJ Moore gets involved, or else he is going to Kansas City to play with Patrick Mahomes. And then Robbie Anderson is the wide receiver 1. City doesn't like that either. So hopefully Baker Mayfield steps it up. I saw he was getting a little bit of slander on the social media for making some overthrows, making some underthrows. But that's going to create that underdog mentality, and now he's going to go off. So give me Carolina here.
Give me the Niners win this game, 24-4. Oh, shit, same score again. Give me the Niners 24-14. I said they were ready to win last week. They did. I'm confident in them. Jeff Wilson broke like a 30-yard raw rushing touchdown. Debo Samuel played like a god, and I think Debo is going to play like a god again. Like Cole said, DJ Moore, he sucks. He's out of there. I'd like to see him go to the Packers. That would be awesome. But yeah, like Cole said, might go to Kansas City. That seems like a more reasonable option. Besides that point, I got the Niners win this game by 10, 24-14.
Little no-hitter update, still intact, top 8, 1 out, combined no-hitter. Didn't the Astros throw a combined no-hitter this year?
Yeah.
Or was that the double immaculate inning? I don't know. Moving on to the next week, I'm not even going to honk the horn on this one. It's just very it's very explanatory for itself. Cardinals over the Eagles, 28-22. It's my lock of the week, actually. So the undefeated team in the league that I think might win the Super Bowl or go to the Super Bowl
is going to get locked on this week, and Cardinals are going to win because Jalen Hurts was on Manning Cast this past week. And, yeah, I just – I mean, the Cardinals have looked good, but, like, their first half, got to fix it. You're putting up 0 to 3 points every time in the first half, and it's not going to cut it. And I think they actually have 14 – they're winning 14-7 going to half and then end up winning the game 28-22. Eagles suffer loss number one.
I think the Eagles this season are going to be like the Cardinals of last season. Start off very hot and then maybe fall off at the end of the year. And it's funny, they're playing the Cardinals this week. I think the Eagles win. They continue their undefeated season. They win this one 28-24. I'm a huge Kyler Murray hater. And I like everything that the Philadelphia Eagles offense has done so far. I compared them to the 2018 Chiefs, not in terms of play style. You know, the Chiefs had more of a backyard football kind of play style, throwing it deep. The Eagles are more conservative. They run the ball a lot. We saw Miles Sanders have a large game. But I think they're going to be comparable to the Chiefs in terms of their efficiency and their scoring. I think they're going to be extremely efficient. You're not going to see too many punts from this squad, and they are going to put up lots and lots of points. This one, 28, is kind of an average amount. Going up against the Cardinals, the Cardinals don't have the best defense. We saw Patrick Mahomes drop 5 TDs on them. If I had to pick a player of the game, I'm not going to go Miles Sanders. I'm not going to go Kenneth Gainwell. I'm going to go with the boy, Devonta Smith. Byron Murphy, who's like the one shining star on that cornerback room, he's going to be on A.J. Brown. I think a no-name is going to be guarding Devonta Smith. So it's going to be Smith with the big game.
I kind of want to do a pump fake as Joe took the Cardinals, but I don't know. I'm still going to go the Cardinals. I got my upset of the week. I got the Cardinals winning 35-21. It's only a matter of time till the Eagles lose to either a really good team or just an average team, which I think they're going to do to an average team. The Cardinals are going to win 35-21. DeAndre Hopkins still not back. Week 7, in 2 weeks, he will be back, and he will be Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray is obviously his favorite target. He's going to ball out. A.J. Brown has been phenomenal this year. Devonta Smith getting involved weeks 3 and 4. And Miles Sanders, obviously, behind the best offensive line in the league, has been rushing the ball. And but this game, like I said, it's only a matter of time until the Eagles offense takes a little bit of a dip. And I think this is going to be the game when the Cardinals are going to capitalize. I think the Cardinals punt only twice in this game. They're going to score almost every time they're on offense. And I expect a big game from Kyler and a big game for Rondale Moore.
Moving on, Rams versus the Cowboys. Last week where Cooper Rush finally went down and everybody's like, ooh, ah. But, like, excuse me. But, I mean, last week, the hard thing was they beat a Commanders team. I mean, they're not that good, but, like, still. The Rams played, like, really bad last week. And I don't know. If Cooper Rush wins this week, you might as well just keep him at quarterback. I mean, 4-0 start the season. Cowboys, after week one, everybody's like, oh, my God, they're not even going to make the playoffs this year. I still don't think they're going to make the playoffs. But that's besides the point. I'm going to take the Rams or the Cowboys 24-15.
Instead of the Super Bowl, this is the Cooper Bowl, Cup versus Rush. I'm going to take the Cowboys here 27-17. I did not like what I saw from Matt Stafford. Seems like he's a one-read quarterback. We saw that with Detroit. He went to Calvin Johnson. If Calvin Johnson wasn't open, he didn't throw the ball. Same thing. Kupp had 19 targets. If Cooper Kupp was not open, you know, he threw to the occasional Tyler Higbee. And then if not, he's either taking a sack or, you know, scrambling or throwing the ball away. He's not looking for that second read. It's either, can I find Cooper or how can I get sacked? It's going to be like that. Defense, I think Trayvon Diggs really, I think he does. Obviously, Cooper Kupp is Cooper Kupp. You're not going to be to, you know, stop him, but you can contain. I think they find a decent way of doing that. The red zone offense was not the best with the Rams. The Cowboys continue their success with Cooper Rush. They win 27-17. And I don't think Cooper Rush is going to be the starter when Dak comes back. They're going to get, if Dak does not perform well, I think he has a short leash. But you can't take away from him after you pay him that much money. They're going to give him a chance. But if he doesn't play up to, I think Brush comes right back in.
Possibly. I have the Rams winning this game. No, 32-18. Matthew Stafford has more interceptions than picks this year. Very disappointing.
Really? More interceptions?
Okay, more interceptions than touchdowns. Six interceptions to four touchdowns is brutal. The backfield, they're kind of just like mixed matching between Henderson and Akers. Both of them are not going to be very good in fantasy because they both, I don't know, I don't even know if they like trust both of them or they dislike both of them. Cooper Kupp, like Cole said, you can't contain him like LeBron James said about Steph Curry. Say, how do you stop him? The same way you stop me. You can't. I'm feeling a big game from Cooper Kupp. Cole's going to be happy. I'm feeling 100 yards and two touchdowns.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, Rams win this game by 14.
Sunday Night Football, Ravens and Bengals. This one really for me isn't going to be like anything. It's going to be a typical Sunday Night Football game where the Ravens just obliterate their opponent. 35-24. Tough loss last week. I mean, you were up 20-3 and then give up 18 on answers. I'm like, that is just pathetic. And versus a Bills team too, like that's where you assert your dominance last week and you couldn't. Harbaugh folded, went for the touchdown instead of the field goal, failed. I mean, that's what happened last year. 2 points versus Pittsburgh. Mark Andrews can't catch the ball. You lose that game. I mean, I love the balls he plays. You got big balls. We get it. Just you got to have the big balls and convert. So I think Lamar rushes for two touchdowns. And for the Bengals, I think Tyler Boyd gets in the end zone again. And I know I've mixed in, but I'll say P. Ryan gets in.
Okay, Bengals-Ravens, AFC North matchup. Lamar Jackson's a one-man show, really. And if the Bengals had a poor defense, I think Lamar could capitalize on that like he did against New England, and they could pick up a win here. But Bengals are talented on both sides of the football. I think they're top three in terms of, you know, their roster. They got talent everywhere. Really no major holes, I guess, you know, still the offensive line, even though they did bring in Lyle Collins in the offseason. I'm going to take the Bengals here, 31-22. I think this game has the potential to be one of the best games of the year if these two teams play to their full capacity. I think the Bengals pick up a 31-22 win, two-possession win, just barely. If I say big game, give me Joe Mixon. I think Joe Mixon had a rather large game for the Cincinnati Bengals. And they go on a roll. They started off slow, but they're going to keep picking things up. And this is going to be a very tight race for the AFC North title.
It is going to be a tight race. And I agree with Cole. I got the bang. Oh, Jesus. I got the bang. Winning this 33-22. 33-22. Like last game, Xavier Howell was kind of bouncing around from Jamar Chase and T. Higgins because they're both just so good. Both top 10 receivers. Jamar Chase is top three. T. Higgins is number 10. I think that's what Marlon Humphrey's going to do. He's going to keep bouncing around. He's going to be on Jamar Chase and he's going to be on T. Higgins. They're going to keep bouncing around. And whoever, you know, whenever Marlon's not on that person, they're going to that person. And,
is he? Teddy.
Izzy is at the doctor.
Yeah, give me a big game from T and Jamar Chase. They're both playing.
Wow.
They're both playing great this year. T Higgins has been that consistent guy. Jamar Chase has been boom or has been just average. But I think this is going to be the game where they both go off and both fantasy owners are going to be happy. Okay, give me the Bengals by 11 two score game.
Almost makes you want to gag. Moving to Monday Night Football. I think this is the game that could potentially have game of the year stakes here. I have the Chiefs over the Raiders 34-28. The Chiefs last week against a very good Bucs defense made them look like fools. 41 points. I mean, it's just nothing. Nothing stopping. I mean, everybody's still questioning the Chiefs offense. They look great. The Raiders, big win. Had that as my lock of the week last week, and they did lock. So I think either way, this is going to be a great game. I think Josh Jacobs continues a phenomenal week. Rushes for over 100 again, maybe gets in the end zone twice. I think it's the same for Clyde on the other side. I think he's been a touchdown machine. He's the Damian Harris last year. And I think he finds the end zone twice. So I think it's going to be a big game from the running backs. But this is going to be a very good game. And Raiders need to win more. So I don't know why I'm taking the Chiefs, because I feel like the Raiders could easily win this game. And Derek Carr usually plays better against these. But Raiders always find a way to blow it. So I'm going to take the Chiefs.
6 days from now, Raiders Chiefs on ESPN. This is going to be my upset of the week. I'm going to take the Raiders. And I'm honestly going to make it an honorary lock of the week. It's not my official one, but that's how confident I am that the Raiders are going to win this one. It's just, I don't think the Chiefs can replicate this. And, you know, the NFL is very rigged, like we all know. And I do not think that the Chiefs win this game. I think that the Raiders win 28-16. There's just something about it that doesn't feel right. I can't explain it, but I feel like the Raiders are going to win this one. And Davante Adams finally gets his involvement in the offense.
I like that.
Dating back to week one. Week one, he played great. Weeks two and three, got in the end zone. Didn't really see the targets. Week four, I wasn't really watching the game. How did you do?
He didn't. No touchdowns, but like 100 yards, I think.
And me like 20 points.
That is so very good. So I think he replicates that.
Yeah. Just free. Give me the Chiefs 35-20. Like Joe actually pretty good comparison, like the Damian Harrison last year. But I don't know. I'm not like super high on Clyde, but I'm not like, oh, this guy sucks. Like before season, I'm like, oh, this guy sucks. Now I'm like, now he's kind of creeping up on me. I did say Patrick Mahomes is going to be better without Tyreek Hill. Don't know, but he is. Travis Kelce is going to have another big game. And the Raiders and the Chiefs are going to blow out the Raiders. The Raiders are going to have one garbage time touchdown. This game should be a four possession game. Give them the Chiefs winning by 15, but it really should be 22.
Devin Woe is now live with Kamaria for all you people out there. I think we got to go. Thank you for listening. Have a great weekend.
Oh my God, I got to go tune in.
Love you guys.